You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John, and happy Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. And Devin, a happy Star Wars Day to you, too, and game day.
Si. Buenos tardes, Alan.
Shut it. You know what? I'm sorry. I had to have a donut to start this show off.
You know, I've heard that there's a song. A song about a certain someone being late and wanting a donut. John, have you ever heard a song about someone being late because they wanted a donut?
It's a catchy tune.
I don't know about that. It's too bad it was never recorded.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's one of those things that's just going to be lost forever.
Hey, when you're having a craving for a donut, you get a donut, okay?
But you know what's not lost forever, guys?
The Jazz.
Game two.
Heck yeah. And folks, as we're recording, we're preparing for game three tonight, Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Jazz in Houston in town. City jerseys. It's going to light up tonight. Let's go Jazz. But let's talk about this Houston series so far. John, what do you want to delve into?
Well, I think Quinn approached the Houston series the same way he approached the Oklahoma City series. He had a plan. Game one, it didn't work, but he is such a good coach that he's able to learn everything he can from game one and make all the adjustments for game two. And I was amazed how well it worked with Houston. He learned his lesson. His guys got more rest and they were able to come back and, you know, knock him out. I was impressed that they had the 19 point lead at one point. They eventually lost the lead, but they were able to stay in there, stay strong, get the lead back, and then never look back.
So a couple things really stood out in this in game two win. You mentioned them. But let's go back to Oklahoma City. I don't know that game two happens the way that it did, as scripted as it was. 19-point lead. They lose it. Houston back up 5-5, but the Jazz poised, go down the stretch, and they win. I don't think that happens if game five of Oklahoma City didn't happen. Okay, because Jazz had a big lead in that game. They lost it, lost the game, had to come back to Salt Lake to close it. I feel like game two of Houston, that win doesn't happen if the Jazz had not experienced game five of Oklahoma City. And then what's more is Rudy. Rudy was a non-factor in game one. And in game two, Rudy was back to Rudy. I mean, those are my two immediate observations on what took place. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think Houston had planned for their game to keep Rudy out. And so Quinn was able to figure out everything they were doing to keep Rudy out, and he corrected it. And I also couldn't help noticing how, I mean, did you watch Kobe Bryant's detail on Donovan Mitchell?
I did. It was so brilliant. So good.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's a lot of things that Kobe showed in there that I saw Donovan use. I would say almost half of the time Kobe was reviewing film, he's showing how Rudy can get open and how to get the ball to Rudy and when. And I think a lot of that was applied. And so you saw a lot of easy dunks, and it just baffled the Rockets that this was happening.
Well, and it's not just that Donovan changed. It was interesting. Okay, I got to say that video. Devin, did you watch that video? Are you familiar with it?
No.
You need to. 24 minutes of very good. And let me lay this out.
Here's the thing, though, Alan.
What's that?
I don't need to watch it because there's no way Kobe Bryant knows more about basketball than I do. I mean,
but let me lay it out there for those.
I watch a lot.
Let me lay it out there for those who missed it. Kobe Bryant, when he did the video, spoke as if he was the mind of Donovan Mitchell, right? Like he spoke as if he were Donovan. You know, he was speaking. I'm open here. I'm open here. I'm doing this. I'm seeing this. He was Donovan Mitchell for the duration of this 24 minutes. And he talked about slipping screens. John, you're right. They changed that. The one thing he mentioned too was the fact that you need Rudy and guys like Rudy and Favors, not just to slip the screens, but to go downhill and head to the basket. And you saw a lot more of that too. Rudy and Favors dove to the basket a lot, especially in that first quarter. So I have a feeling it was more than Donovan that paid attention. And maybe that was Quinn's plan all along. Maybe Kobe just spoke his mind on stuff, but maybe Quinn already said, hey, we need this. Let's do this. So I want to give Quinn a lot of credit on this one.
Yeah. One thing we're seeing in these playoffs is just how important coaching is.
Oh, yeah.
And Quinn is able to just work wonders, and we'll get to the other playoffs later, but you're definitely seeing advantages of having good coaches versus average coaches with high talent.
Well, and I'm not gonna say that D'Antoni's average coach either.
And I'm saying D'Antoni's a great coach, but I'm just saying Snyder's a really good coach too.
Right, and that's what I'm looking for tonight, because D'Antoni is a great coach. He's been in this league a long time. He's done very good things back with Phoenix and Nash and whatnot. So I'm looking for D'Antoni to make adjustments tonight too. And for anybody who thinks, oh, this is going to be a repeat of OKC series, guys, do not think that at all. The Jazz could very well lose one or both of their home games just as easily as they could win them both. I mean, this D'Antoni's going to make adjustments and things are going to change. And let's not forget this Rockets team that I didn't want to believe was this good defensively. They are, and I expect adjustments to be made.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real difference between this year's team and last year's team is they ramped up their defense. Chris Paul's a really good defender. They have P.J. Tucker, Luke Mbah-Mute,
Trevor Ariza.
Capella, that they've got a lot of good defensive players.
Yeah, they do. And give James Harden credit. He's playing a little better defense for a player who's shown disinterest in it for years.
Yeah, he's doing what he needs to. They still try to move him to low usage guys, but if it gets to him, he's not backing down. This isn't like Carmelo, where Jazz are just desperately trying to get it over to him because they know they're going to win that matchup every time.
Right. Devin, you had a thought?
Well, the flip side of that coin is in game two, you saw some pretty good defense out of Utah.
Yes, you did.
And I love the moves that Quinn is making and the players that he is trusting. One who I actually own a piece of property, beachfront property on an island with his name, Mr. Dante Exum, allowed, was it 2 points on 22 possessions or something like that?
For James Harden? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's unreal.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you saw stints of that in game one and had a feeling that Quinn was going to go back to that in game two, and he did.
But what you're seeing is you're seeing these guys get right up in him, but the thing that I noticed was right off the bat, the placement of the hands.
Yeah.
Defenders have a bad tendency to put their hands out in front of them.
Donovan Mitchell.
But what you're seeing in Exum and also from Royce is the hands are almost up at the shoulders on the sides.
Agreed.
And James doesn't have that same opportunity to bring the ball up and draw that foul on the three.
I don't.
That's his patented move.
Yeah, and I don't mean to pick on Donovan, but Donovan got picked on quite a bit in that particular move in that game.
But it looks like it's been addressed. Guys have
Harden's gonna. I mean, Donovan's gonna fix it.
You're gonna have a couple of those. I think it's just gonna be habit where there's enough spacing, but I love how aggressive they are in getting up in him. And major kudos to Dante and also to Royce.
Yep.
For the way they've played Harden. You know, they've done a fantastic job on what is the probable NBA MVP this year.
Other thoughts, John?
Jay Crowder's intensity as well. And, you know, Joe Ingles, we know, is a good defender, but man, his offense in game two was magical.
7 of 9 from downtown. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Toby had a night. Do you guys like seeing the attention that Joe's getting from the national media? And do you mind that a lot of it has to do with him being placed as Toby from The Office? Do you guys see the photos and everything
I've seen those.
I'm sure Donovan just loves it, you know, being an Office fan. He's kind of like, yeah.
Have you not watched their back and forth on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Donovan's eating it up, dude.
Yeah. So.
John, what about the bench play? I mean, Alec Burks Can we see Alec Burks continue to be a force in this series?
I think we will in this series because that's just the way the personnel works out. Other guys have had their opportunities, but he's the one who's stepped it up here. I think honestly, him being a veteran is really helping out here. I mean, he's been in the league a while, and you know, Jazz are putting a lot of faith in rookies like Mitchell and O'Neal, and it is nice. I think Alex, he's like the second oldest or third oldest guy on the team now.
This is also his. No. This is also his third playoff stint, I believe, too.
Yeah.
Because he was in the playoffs that year that San Antonio swept the Jazz. So I believe this is his third stint in the playoffs.
So he's the second longest tenured Jazz man, right?
Yes. Behind Derek Favors. Yes. Yeah. So.
Let's see. Alec is. Oh, he's only 26.
Yeah. Yeah. He's young, but he's.
Okay. So they have plenty of vets, but.
One sec, John.
But yeah, his experience has really paid off.
Yeah.
It's crazy the ages that we have in these guys, right?
This team's young, dude.
I mean, it feels like Derek Favors has been in the league for forever. I was talking about this with our buddy Greg Foster. It just seems like Derek's been in the league for a good 10 years. And then you look at his age and he's 26, I believe. Burks, we're like, oh, he's the oldest on the team. And you're thinking, oh, he's got to be what, like 28 now, 29? No, he's 26 years old.
Well, regardless of age, I believe this is, you're coming up on 10 years soon for Faves. I think this is his eighth season.
It's just crazy how young this team is still.
Am I right? Eight seasons?
He played a year at Georgia Tech. So.
Yeah, and then he ended up mid-season trade. Yeah, this is his eighth year, so we're coming up on 10 years anyway.
It's nuts to me that our veterans are 26 years old.
Right.
You know, that's not exactly common.
Not all of them. One's older. Toby.
I got all the ages right now. You kind of forget that
Joe Ingles
is 30,
and Joe Ingles is what?
Joe's 30.
30.
He's 30. Tavo's 33, but he's not playing.
Right.
They're young at heart, though.
Yes.
The return of the core four is now the core two.
Okay, so. I want final thoughts and projection on tonight's game and this weekend's set of games because we got two coming up. But I want to ask either of you, did you guys see the post-game podium with the four of them, with Ingles, Alec Burks, Mitchell, and Gobert?
I did not.
I actually didn't.
You didn't? Okay, quick story on this. They had the four of them up there, started asking questions. And, of course, you're going to get Donovan and Rudy always laughing at inside jokes, and Joe as well. Joe was making some snide remarks at Donovan at one point in time. It was really hilarious because they asked Donovan. Well, okay, so they asked Donovan about his dunk. And this gal says, what went through your mind at that moment? He is, I don't know. He says, I shot a shot that was short. I grabbed it in the air and decided I didn't need to go down with it. So mid-air, he decides to dunk it. But anyway, they're sitting there talking, and Joe took a couple of shots at Donovan, and I'd have to go back and show you, but they, one point in time, they got ready to ask Joe Ingles a question. I think it was Woodyard from Des News?
Yeah.
He went to ask Joe Ingles a question, and Joe says, hey, wait, can we all stop for a minute? I am not answering any more questions, and we're not leaving until somebody asks Alec Burks a question.
Oh, that's cool.
And people started laughing, and Alec Burks looks uncomfortable. You can tell he does. He does not want any part of this. So Eric turns and asks Alec a question, and while he's doing it, Joe's fidgeting with Alec's mic and pushing it up into his face a little bit so that Alec can answer it. And Alec looks down and starts laughing and pushing it back out. And he gives his usual uncomfortable, awkward one-liner response to the question. And everybody laughs. And then somebody else asks him a question. And everybody laughs. And that was it. They moved on. And then they got to Donovan. And Donovan goes, wait, can I answer some questions in regards to Alec Burks for a second? Because he didn't answer him very well. So let me take it a step further. And, oh, dude, they were laughing at each other the entire interview. You need to watch this. I'll try and tag you guys in it. It was hilarious.
Well, while we're talking about this, what do you guys think about the chemistry of this team? I know we've talked about it on the court, But in the playoffs, you see the Jazz going, like you're saying, Alan, with this four-person presser. Uh-huh. Even when the Jazz lose, you think back to that loss at Oklahoma City in Game 5.
Yeah, two guys with each other, three guys with each other.
Where Donovan's walking off the court and he's saying, hey, see y'all next year. You know, this team, to me, seems to be having the most fun out of any team.
Agreed.
In the NBA playoffs right now. And don't you think there's something to be said for that, John?
Yeah. The chemistry's been great. You look at everyone in the playoffs, I would say all the chemistry teams left are in the West. Warriors are having a good time. I think Rockets until Wednesday were having a good time. Well, Boston, I bet, is having a good time.
I think Cleveland's having a good time right now. I don't know. We'll get to that one in a few minutes.
But I still don't think Cleveland's having a good time.
No, but – and I'm with you, John. I think they're having a good time too. And did you guys see the walk-off interview from Donovan the other day? They asked him – and somebody tweeted this. One of the national medias tweeted this, but said when asking Donovan why he has been so successful in the playoffs – it had nothing to do with him. He says, I'm as good as my teammates make me. It was something to that effect where he talked about he's good.
Yeah, they asked him where his confidence comes from, and he said his confidence comes from his teammates.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can tell. And I noticed this at the game last week I was at, or maybe it was not. It was the next one. But Donovan, when he was interviewed at the end of the game in Salt Lake, and Kristen Kinney was asking him a bunch of questions, and he stopped. She asked him about his performance, but he stopped and looked up at the scoreboard. You guys know up in the corners where all the stats are listed. He starts listing down guys on the team and their numbers for the night. Like, who does that? Donovan Mitchell does that.
Donovan Mitchell does that.
Who does that?
And he's done it after every game.
Right. He's giving props to his teammates.
Did they still win in Oklahoma City?
Yes.
I believe that was the Favors game. Favors had a huge
game two. They stole in Oklahoma City,
right? And I think in the post game on the court interview, he gave credit to Derek.
Yeah,
and then you're talking about it here in Salt Lake City, but also I want to say that it was after that game that they just played in Houston. The first person he mentions is Alec Burks.
Yes,
Alec is ready.
Yes,
and that is one of those things that you are never going to find on a stat sheet. You are never going to find anyone talking about it, I don't think, with a player pre-draft. You know, they talk about who's a good teammate. But the level of – I don't even know what to call it. Just how complimentary he is how good he is to his teammates and giving them credit is really a testament to not only Donovan Mitchell, the player and the teammate, but Donovan Mitchell, the person.
Right.
You know, and it makes me laugh when we think about the Oklahoma City fans that were like, oh, I wish Mitchell were more humble.
Seriously?
It doesn't get more humble than Donovan Mitchell when you're playing like an MVP.
Yeah.
He's not playing like a rookie. He's not playing like a veteran.
He's
not
a star.
Playing like an all-star. He's playing like an MVP.
Yes, he is.
I'd never heard anyone say that. Someone actually said that?
Oh, you can find anything on Twitter, John.
I've seen things on Twitter. I've seen a lot of Boston and a lot of Philly fans and otherwise saying that very thing. I've seen it across my Twitter feed. Yes, John,
okay.
I have.
Okay.
And actually, I saw a tweet that it didn't age well yesterday either. I was scrolling through Twitter this morning and a national media member said something about Donovan's game, about the dunk, and a Philly fan responded with a gif of Ben Simmons and says, oh, but Donovan was 4 of 16 or whatever it was. And I felt like quote tweeting it and saying, and Ben Simmons had how many points last night in a loss? Okay,
yeah.
Enough said.
And you know what I say to that? I say game. Blouses.
Okay, quick. Let's talk our predictions. Game 3, game 4. Where are we at come Monday? I'll start with you, John.
I think they split, and it's going to be 2-2.
Okay.
I agree.
Which one do they get?
Which one does Houston get?
Yeah. I have a crazy feeling it's going to be tonight.
Well, let me tell you a couple things that factor in.
I would say tonight.
Okay.
Rubio won't be in game three. He might be back for game four. So I think of them, Houston will probably get game three.
Okay. Devin?
But you have to keep in mind they've got the lucky city jerseys on.
And they've only lost one or two all season long in those, so that's true.
And then you have to factor in game four is one that I may be attending, and they seem to win every playoff game that I've been to this year. So
I will be attending right, game then. Four. I will be there.
So I don't – oh, Alan's going? Okay.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz win game three, Alan is unlucky, and we lose game four.
I think we're all in agreement. I want to believe the Jazz can pull out both, but I tend to think that we're going to see a split in Salt Lake and we're going to go back to Houston tied up. So I'm right there with you. All right. So let's move on to the rest of the NBA playoffs.
Yes. In the other side of the West, we have Warriors and Pelicans. Warriors have a 2-0 lead. Pelicans came close in one of those games, but I think, if anything, it's probably going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Agreed. What was Steph Curry's numbers in game two? Because I know in game one, he came off the bench and scored 28. Am I right?
What was his score?
Or am I getting the games backwards? Was it game two?
I don't think
he had 28 in game two.
Okay, that's what it was. Off the bench in game two, 28. Did he not play game one?
I don't think he played game one.
Okay, so came off the bench in game two, scored 28. They're back to full strength. Watch out. Watch out.
This is like the one series I don't think there's much to talk about. It's like, okay, no. Golden State's moving on. Let's jump over to the East.
True.
This is a good point. All right, to the East.
You know, when I sent the initial show notes, the Boston-Philly game was still going on, and Philly was up by 20, so I just assumed they're going to win, and they didn't.
Oh!
In fact... So that means Houston, Utah, that is the only series where it's split. All the other series are 2-0. And I can't believe Philly fell apart and lost to Boston, but it's amazing how they did it. I mean, they really, really took away Ben Simmons' game to the point that he had to be benched in the fourth quarter to give them a chance to win.
Supposed rookie of the year.
I'm just amazed how well the Celtics are doing.
Supposed rookie of the year.
I saw one of the national guys tweet, did Ben Simmons hit not a rookie wall?
No. I still think Ben Simmons is going to win rookie of the year. And I've seen a couple national announcers after this couple series we've been watching come out and say, if I could change my vote, I'd change it to Donovan Mitchell. So that tells me there, we might see Ben Simmons winning it.
Okay. So I want to talk about something real quick with this series. Boston is going to be in an interesting situation because you think about what they've done this season. And Jaylen Brown has been fantastic. Jason Tatum has been amazing. A fantastic pick at number three. He was number three, right? That was the switch.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But you get to the end of the season and you have the coming out party of Scary Terry. Terry Rozier.
We've seen
a lot of Terry Rozier here in Salt Lake because we've been fortunate enough to see him play in Summer League. Oh. And he has been one of the best players on the court every time.
And he's a huge reason why Boston beat us in Salt Lake at the end of the season, too.
So here's the question I threw out. With all of these young talents and how well they've been doing, if you're Danny Ainge, and I know that's a painful thing to think about, but if you're Danny Ainge... What would you do? Do you trade Kyrie because you have Rozier coming out? Do you trade Hayward because you've got these other guys and maybe you want another big? Do you trade both of them because you see how successful the team has been as constructed? Or do you not trade either and you just think, we've got a lot of depth now?
The last one. He'll roll with the depth. He absolutely will. What's more is not only will he roll with the depth, but he's got three guys you just mentioned. Two out of those three guys are cheap. He doesn't have to pay much, or at least one of them. Sorry, Tatum is. Tatum's cheap right now.
No, but those guys shouldn't be going anywhere.
Right.
Talent on a rookie deal should not be going anywhere.
All I'm saying right now is that he can afford to keep it and ride the storm right now. And they're going to, I was talking with somebody the other day, Boston's going to be scary good next year. Scary good.
I don't know how you bury some of these guys on the bench, though.
You don't. That's a Brad Stevens issue, but you won't.
I don't know what you do because now you've got Marcus Smart, you've got Terry Rozier, you've got Kyrie Irving, and then you're going to bring in Hayward into this rotation. I think the Hayward rotation can work.
Yes.
And I know this brings out a bias with Jazz fans and, oh, what do you do with Hayward? But I wonder what would happen if they were able to go out and secure another big, because Horford is not getting any younger. He's still a great player. And with the blow by he had on Embiid to seal the game last night, you know, he still can play, absolutely. But it makes you wonder what would happen if they added a younger talented big to this equation. So I threw it out there on Twitter last night, and here's what I got. There were only 10 votes. So one vote said you trade Kyrie. 6 votes said you trade Hayward. 2 people said trade both. And this is what surprised me. Only one person said don't trade either of them.
What do you think, John?
I'd say don't trade either of them. If anything, I can see Danny using Jaylen Brown as a pick as a trade for another more seasoned vet to just guarantee they win the finals next year.
But do you really need to break this up at all? You've already seen how good they can be without Kyrie and without Hayward. Do you really need to even mess with it at all?
They didn't need to mess with it last year. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and he completely blew it up.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Which really surprised me.
I don't think he's afraid to tinker at all.
No.
And that's what I wonder
Rozier's been great, but he's not trade Kyrie away great.
No, not at all.
But
not at all.
But Ainge has coveted Rozier from the get-go. He has been the one guy, seems like. He's like, no touch in Terry.
But I don't care how good Rozier's been. It's Kyrie Irving, dude. You cannot mess with that right now. See how it goes next year. But I don't know why you would mess with that right now. Even as good as Rozier's been.
I'm just saying. It's going to be interesting. Because eventually Boston's going to have to start making some decisions.
So how quickly is this series in, John?
I think Philly figures it out in Philly. I mean, who knows, really. I think Boston in 6.
I think that's a good number. Okay, which I'm going to have a question I'm going to ask, but I want to go to the next series first. Let's talk about the one that has been, I don't know if you call it a surprise. This one we're going to spend a little time on because it's LeBron and we just need to. Toronto and Cleveland. Did you see this going 0-2 right now?
No, but I watched a lot of game 2 and it made sense. I mean, Cleveland is lucky. They barely escaped the Pacers.
Right.
And now they face Toronto and they got in their heads in game 1, but watching game 2, I mean, LeBron and then Love, they were just unstoppable. And Toronto did not have an answer. And at one point, Toronto tried to go small and they put CJ Miles on Kevin Love. And Kevin Love just ate him up, just scored like 4 or 5 possessions in a row because he had CJ on him. And LeBron was amazing. He was unstoppable. I can't remember what his final score was, like 38 or 40 points.
No, he had 40. He had 43 points. He had
43.
Yeah, okay. 11 rebounds and 8 assists. He was 2 assists shy of a triple double. In 40 plus minutes.
See, I don't think he even needed to play that long. I think the game was well out of hand. I didn't watch the very end, but I think LeBron could have sat with 6 minutes to go in the fourth.
He could. They were up 20 most of the fourth quarter. They were.
Yeah. So. It's a matter of we got to find LeBron his rest, but maybe the rest they really find is just ending this series as fast as possible and hope Boston and Philly stretches out. I mean, the team just looks much better this round than they did in the previous round, and they still have a lot of issues with most of the players on that team, but this is really showing that really all you do need is LeBron. And when him and Kevin are connecting like they were, then, yeah, I mean, I never thought this a month ago, but it looks like Cleveland, I think at this point, is the favorite to go to the finals in the East.
I was just going to ask you that. I want to address that in a minute, but yeah. I want to throw out some numbers for you. LeBron is how old, did we say? 33?
Yes.
Okay. This year, he's averaging in the playoffs 33.4 points per game, 8.4 assists, and 10.1 rebounds. That is his second highest points per game total since he's been in the league. The previous high was 35 points per game in 2009. And it is also his second highest in rebounds and assists. 11 assists, and I think he had 9 rebounds, and they were both earlier. No, 2 years ago, 2015, the year that they, I think he lost without Kevin Love, without Kyrie Irving in the finals. He averaged almost a triple-double that year. Or he did average triple-double. 33.4 points per game in these playoffs right now. And he's averaging 40 minutes a night. Is this guy incredible or what?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Incredible.
Does this, and so with those numbers in mind, so that was the other thing I thought about. Can Philly or Boston really beat Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals? Because I don't know that either one of them can. A healthy Boston, yes, but I don't know as constituted.
Yes. Yes. Either one of them can.
I don't think so.
You can say that. They've done it in the regular season. But will they? I don't know.
John, what do you think?
I think they have a chance. I just think Cleveland's the favorite. I mean, Boston is defying all kinds of expectations.
Right.
So who really knows? And Philly, you know, Philly, they stomped Miami pretty good in round one. Now they got to figure some things out with Boston, but I think Philly has enough talent they get past Cleveland. I mean, I could see Philly facing Cleveland, LeBron scoring 45 and Cleveland still losing.
I don't know.
Of all the teams, I would say that I think Cleveland's the favorite.
Right.
Now, I got to ask. I didn't watch last night's game, so I don't know. But does this come back to someone getting back in the game? Because I heard that Tristan Thompson's been going after rebounds like their Instagram models.
Oh, he's been good, dude. He's been very good.
And to me, that's something different. Because I don't know how much playing time he really saw during the season. He seems like he was almost completely out of the rotation for a while there.
And as good as Indiana played the Cavs in the first round, sometimes, as we've found in the playoffs, it's about matchups. That may have just been a nightmare matchup, just like this one is for Toronto. I mean, I thought Toronto was better than this. I didn't expect 0-2 on their own court, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, Thompson was great in game one. He hardly did anything in game two. But they do need that extra body because Kevin Love doesn't like playing center. It's just that the team is best when he is playing center. And I think that more than anything else is just give Love his time at the four so he can get comfortable.
Right.
But last night, I mean, you had Jeff Green hit 4 threes. You had George Hill made some good defensive plays late.
Right.
And well, late, I say third quarter, really. When it really started to blow up and open up in the third quarter, George Hill was crucial.
Right.
But you know, Cleveland doesn't need to have a good bench. I mean, they really don't. Rodney Hood has been
awful. He's been awful.
No points in 11 minutes. Clarkson's a guy that you probably don't want to play if you don't have to. But yeah, that's the way their team is. It's like, okay, you have LeBron, you have Kevin, you got his reliables like Korver and Smith who aren't getting any younger, but he can rely on them. And then everybody else, you just hope you get something.
All right. That's your playoffs. Before we move over to coaching, cause John, you want to hit the coaching carousel. I have one question for both of you. It's a quick answer. Rondo or Green, who do you take?
Barkley.
Jeff Green?
No. Draymond Green or Rondo, who do you take?
Oh, Draymond. Oh, I gotcha. Draymond.
Okay. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, all you got to do is go earlier in this series. The two of them were at each other. Oh, boy. And Devin with the quick Barkley response.
I was very amused, though, when Rondo wiped the ball with his head sweat.
Oh, that was hilarious. I love it. Playing the same mind games that Draymond Green plays with everybody is always fun to watch.
That is peak pettiness, and I am so here for it.
When does Draymond respond with a kick to the groin on Rondo next time? Oh, sorry. Is that too soon?
That's
he might
low.
Have some weird shooting motion
with his legs.
All right, John, let's hit the coaching carousel real quick.
Okay. Word came down that David Fizdale has taken the New York job. I also saw this morning that Phoenix had offered him the job as well, but he ultimately decided to go with New York. Phoenix then went to their next choice, which was unfortunately Jazz assistant Igor Kokoskov.
Oh,
Kokoskov. And I'm really sad to see him go. He's been really crucial to their success. On the other hand, I'm happy that he is getting a head coaching chance.
Agreed.
I just hope that Phoenix doesn't eat him up the way it's eaten up a lot of other Jazz guys like Earl Watson and Jeff Hornacek.
It's okay. It's okay, guys. We'll get him a ring before he leaves, okay? We'll hurry and get him a ring.
All right, there you go.
All right. I like the way you think. And one thing I was surprised that Memphis did, Memphis decided to go ahead and keep interim coach J.B. Bickerstaff. They're just going to let him keep that job and let him coach next year. And who knows, with Conley and Gasol coming back healthy, maybe he can do something. I kind of think it's still a transition time. My guess is next year, Memphis looks to trade one or both of those guys and just start reloading, which is what they really need to do.
Let me ask you something real quick, John.
Reload there.
Is he in a Ty Corbin situation? A Ty Corbin with the Jazz. Is this going to be where Memphis goes into a full rebuild? There's no point in them going out to get their
and JB
their,
just
their
stays there and runs.
Coach, and he's just kind of there to see them through the right. ugly waters while they try to collect some assets somehow.
I think it is. JB's been around forever, and he's been a head coach before. He's been made interim head coach three or four times. He's been the lead assistant, and then the head coach gets fired, so he just coaches the team for the rest of the year. This time, I think they're rewarding him by giving him a full year.
Right.
A lot of what happened in Memphis wasn't his fault.
Nope.
It was just beyond stupid to fire Fizdale anyway.
Yep.
So I think it'll be a transition time. I think they try to make it work. I bet if they're, you know, deep in the lottery by the trade deadline, they try to get rid of one or both of those guys. Probably just Gasol, because he's really getting up there in age. I think they like to keep Conley, but that's kind of how I see that going.
Agreed.
And then maybe, and if they make the playoffs, you know, JB, it all worked out. But Memphis has a lot of problems.
Yeah, they do.
So I think they're keeping JB to just preside over the muddy waters.
And then you mentioned one intriguing prospect at the end. Budenholzer, is that right? No.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that he's eyeing that Milwaukee job.
That's actually not a bad fit. I'm intrigued by that one.
Yeah, they haven't officially released Prunty. I don't know what's keeping them so long, but I bet that's the one that Bud goes for. You still have openings in Atlanta, Charlotte, and Orlando, and you know who knows what'll happen with those. But I think Bud's is the top free agent coach right now, and I'm inclined to think that Milwaukee would be the job that he would want.
And let's not forget that Buds has done a superb job in his tenure at Atlanta anyway, right? I mean, they won 60 games.
He won coach of the year there.
Yeah, 60 games, not 4 years ago. So that's a good pickup for Milwaukee if they do that. And I think they should. I think that's a good fit with, you know, with the Greek Freak and Middleton and whatnot. I think that's a good fit for Buds. So, all right, that is your NBA. Let's move along to Devin's Quick Hits.
Okay, we touched on it, but I just wanted to get your take. Do you have a problem with Charles Barkley saying that he wants to punch Draymond Green in the face? And should he have apologized for that?
No and no.
I thought he was just kidding around, but I respect that he went ahead and apologized for it.
Do you think he still wants to?
Deep down, probably.
Don't we all, right?
We joked donuts at the beginning of the show, but there's Charles Barkley and donuts all in one place right there. Sorry.
No. Look, okay, if we start bringing donuts into it again, then we got to talk about Ray Felton, and we're leaving Oklahoma City in the rear view, okay?
Oh, God.
That's right. I said it.
In the end, I have no problem with Charles Barkley, what he says, because it's in one ear and out the other half the time. It just doesn't matter.
Okay. I saw this from SportsCenter or from ESPN on their Facebook page. Coach from North Carolina Central, Lavelle Moten, I don't know how you say the last name. He tweeted out that a coach emailed him hoping to join his staff. He looked at his Twitter, and that person said LeBron is overrated. And so he said, if you think LeBron stinks, who are you going to recruit? So if someone says that LeBron stinks, right, do you really want them on your staff?
No.
What the lesson here is, be careful what you tweet.
Uh-huh. Pretty much.
Yep.
Okay. Let's jump over NFL. Dez is still trying to find a landing spot. Any surprise there?
No.
I would think someone would take a chance on him, but that's just me, I guess. Jason Witten retires from the Cowboys.
Good career. Witten was good.
Great
stud
career.
Stellar. Yeah.
Franchise leader in games played.
Yep.
Franchise leader in pass receptions. He'll be receiving yards.
He'll be one of the all-time greats. Yeah, he will.
So hats off to him. Even though I don't like the Cowboys, got to give credit where it's due. Pittsburgh Steelers convert Ryan Shazier's base salary to a signing bonus, so he gets everything right away. I think we just need to take a moment and say that's a very good move by the Steelers to do something for their player. They don't have to do that, and I think that's a real class gesture.
Absolutely.
And then I don't have a lot else, but I want to talk about something. And normally I'd be stoked to talk about this on the podcast, guys. Like, I would be really excited to have this conversation. But I'm not so happy now.
John, he's getting all jittery over here. Something he's excited about. I don't get it.
Normally I'd want to talk about it. But it's a little uncomfortable now. So I'm going to have John talk about it, if he doesn't mind. And that is the Washington Redskins. Not their name causing controversy this week, but a revelation and report that in, I believe it was 2013, on a trip to, was it Costa Rica? Cheerleaders were basically treated as escorts and had to pose for a topless photo.
Oh, dear.
I mean, this is a bad look, guys.
Yeah.
And I saw some comments on the internet because, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, saying, well, they should have just quit. I want to get your guys' take on this. This is another ugly mark for the NFL.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's...
Well, it's the good old boys mentality. Yeah. I mean, they women should, they got to look at this as a workplace issue, and women should feel safe in their workplace.
Agreed.
And if you're putting your cheerleaders in that situation where they're feeling pimped out, you are not creating a safe work environment for them. And, you know, it's sad. I'm sure it used to be worse years earlier, but, you know, it doesn't matter. They need to correct that now. And it's sad that they ever put them in that situation.
I'm going to go ahead and say this and hope it doesn't sound like a blanket statement, but guys, I tend to believe this may happen more in the NFL than just with the Redskins and just what we know about.
Oh, definitely. I think this is probably a much larger problem.
Yep.
That's been swept under the rug. And before the age of social media and the internet,
yep,
I can only imagine what was happening back in the 80s, you know, early 90s, anywhere before that.
Is there any other sport out there, professional sport, where the cheerleaders mean as much to marketing as the NFL? I have yet to see one. You got dancers in the NBA, but it's nothing like cheerleading in the NFL.
Oh, no.
Not even close.
Oh, yeah. The Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders is a big brand. And I remember there was a lot of controversy about 20 years ago when they felt like that they were being forced to wear skimpier clothing and being treated like sex objects more.
And the idea, to me, this is one of the things that irks me. not as bad as what's actually happened, but almost to that point, would be the people who are saying that this is kind of brought on by themselves. That, oh, you should quit. Oh, this. Yeah, that's fine and dandy.
It's a bad mentality.
That's an awful mentality. And yeah, especially when you're traveling internationally. I just glanced at some of the tweets and things that were going out. I did not go and read the report, which I believe was done by the New York Times. I could be mistaken on that. But I believe there was some concern about, like, who had the passports when this was happening. Like that the cheerleaders' passports had been taken from them, so they were kind of stuck in the situation. You don't know what you're getting into until you're actually in it, sort of thing. But the whole thing to me is just utterly repulsive. And what do you do? What do you do if you're the NFL? Do you suspend the program? Do you take that away from the Redskins? Is there just like a fine that's imposed? What action is appropriate here?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Here's a quote from one of the cheerleaders. It was the Times that initially reported it. She said, "They weren't putting a gun to our heads, but it was mandatory for us to go. We weren't asked. We were told. Other girls were devastated because we knew exactly what she was doing."
I don't know. This is, the NFL's got to take a hard look at this.
I'll be honest, and people may not like me saying this, but I truthfully will have no problem if the NFL goes down in flames. With the CTE scandals, you know, everything that's happened with concussions, with the treatment of players, with this protesting, the cheerleader thing, I'm honestly just kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
And I love me college football. I absolutely love college football. And I don't mind NFL football. It's something nice to get me through the fall and the winter. But if it goes down and professional football ceases to exist, I'll find something else to watch. I don't have that big of a problem.
We still have the NBA.
You got the NFL, the NBA. You've got college football, college sports. You've got Major League Soccer, which is growing. Right. You know, there's other things I can do.
Right.
This just has to stop. I'm honestly just kind of sick of it.
I think we're in agreement. Is that it for quick hits this week?
I'm angry. We're done.
Okay. Before we move on to our final segment, I do want to point out to everybody that they know and remember it is May and it is National Mental Health Awareness Month. Something very dear to my heart. And Devin, I know you stand up for and with as well. John, I'm sure you do too. I just want to put it out there, folks. Let's be aware this month. Let's think about, you know, reach out to folks. If you are in need of help, please don't be afraid to ask and reach out. But let's be aware of others and their feelings and do our best to help out. I don't know if you two have anything to add to that, but I just wanted to mention that on the show.
I would just say thank you to the people who do stand up for it. And we are a sports podcast. And so I do want to give major props to the players who have made the conversation happen this last year. We've seen it from DeMar DeRozan. We've seen it from Kevin Love.
Yep.
We've seen it from multiple people. And it's honestly great that we are having the conversation and people are feeling a little more comfortable. But I think we got a long way to go and we're all in this together.
John, any additional thoughts on that?
No, well said.
All right. Moving on to our final segment, pop culture.
Yeah, Avengers 4 broke box office records. It now has the highest opening of all time. We got to wrap this up. So I think we will have an in-depth discussion on our reaction to the movie next week. Plus, I haven't seen it yet. And one thing I wanted to plug, though, is Cobra Kai. It's this new YouTube series. It brings back Ralph Macchio and William Zabka from the original Karate Kid, and it shows where their characters are now.
Yep.
And it's pretty good so far. I've watched the first two episodes. I assume at some point I'll hit the part where it says I have to subscribe to YouTube Red to finish it. But I'm enjoying it so far.
I need to see it or at least check into it. Ralph Macchio was on Jimmy Fallon to help promote it. hilarious. And they played some clips and it already looks funny. So I definitely need to check it out. So, but you said there may be eventually where you're going to have to subscribe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I keep seeing stuff for start your free trial on YouTube Red. So I'm just watching it on YouTube until I hit a part where it says
you have to subscribe.
You have to subscribe.
If I
wind up watching all 10, great. they're only half hour episodes, so it flies by.
All right. So Cobra Kai, definitely worth a check. Something I want to check out. All right. Since we have to wrap up, folks, we appreciate you being along. NBA playoffs in full effect. We're enjoying it. Hope you are as well. Join our discussion, Facebook, Twitter. John and I are trying to be a little more active on, John's very active on the Twitter account. I'm trying to get a little more active on the Facebook account, maybe some videos, pods here and there. We did a mini-sode a week ago. Check us out. Give us a follow. Listen to the show. You all do if you're still here now. Leave us a review. We can't request you enough to leave us a review on iTunes and any place you listen. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. May the force be with you, John. Take us out.
Bye, everybody.